Well, yes. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about leader connect groups today, Lord willing. As I was preparing, the Lord gave me a word for before the word. So I'm just going to pray. Join me in prayer. Pray for me. Pray for this time. And as Sean was saying, I think that maybe it was Jeremy, but that his kingdom would come to earth. Even in this time, and that his will would be done. Father, we recognize that we're in this room. God, we're breathing right now because of you. Jesus, remind us, stir us, that this is all about you. And Lord, I ask that this wouldn't be just the afternoon session for the sake of an afternoon session. God, that this wouldn't be just to talk, but this would be actually your destiny being made manifest here on earth as it is in heaven. So I ask, would your Holy Spirit fill this room? Would your Holy Spirit open our eyes and open our ears to hear and see the things that you're doing? And Lord, we need you, and so that is why we need to hear from you. Lord, I need you, and so I ask that you would come and play this broken instrument and make it sound beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the word before the word. Sean was talking last night. Everyone remember Sean talking? And he said a few things that I connected with. He talked about dreaming huge for God. Does anyone want to be a world changer? By a show of hands, who wants to be a world changer? Come on. So, take heart, you're in the company of world changers. Sean talked about being who you were created to be. And Sean made this point about like, and for some of us, there are some things that we have to get over. Some struggles we have to get over. So I'm going to be vulnerable for a minute and say that for the last couple years, I've been working with Campus Renewal, but my personal life has been really hard, very hard. I was, and I'm not going to tell my story, but I will say that like I was once engaged, and a couple months from being married, and am no longer engaged. and then the next summer, my best friend overdosed on heroin. Left a six-year-old daughter behind. And his family didn't really know the Lord. And so it's been a very hard couple years. And so this weekend, I was camping, retreating, really, with one of my best friends. Someone who, a little like myself and a little like you guys, is someone who dreams to change the world. He's this, like, adventure extraordinaire. He, like, carries a gun with him and, like as we climbed mountains together and we backpacked Central America together, and he's just, like, an adventure extraordinaire. Well, we were camping. It was just the two of us. It was Saturday night, And I turned to him, I said, Harrison, do you still dream to change the world? And he thought about it. And he was like, And I said, because when I was like 19, 18, 20, I'm dreaming to change the world. We're going to do this thing. You learn about Martin Luther King. You learn about Mother Teresa, and you're like, one person can change the world. come on, let's do this, right? You read about revivals or whatnot, and you're like, I can change the world. And then maybe like life happens. And like you try to change the world. But somewhere along the way, I kind of stopped dreaming to do it. And so I turned to Harrison, and he said, no, I don't dream to change the world anymore. And he said, changing the world implies changing other people. He said, how can I change other people when I can't even change myself? So, my question is, have we grown weary? Maybe because we tried to change the world and realized I can't even stop looking at pornography. Or whatever, right? Like whatever your struggle is. And so how can I change the world when I can't change myself? All right. Well, I turned to Harrison and I said, well, I've been dreaming to change the world again. I've been dreaming to change the world again. And he's like, he starts to get fired up and he's like, yeah, think about America and think about like, there's never in history been in America. And like, think about like, and the founding fathers were Christians. And like, this what nation was founded on Christian principles. But think about where it is today. It's in a decline. America, the country of America that's never been before, has never been in the place that it's been before. And then he said, like we're in desperate times. I'm getting a lot of like blank stares. Are you out there? Cool. I know like maybe food comas are setting in. So I might like stop and engage you real quick along the way. So America's in a desperate time. Things the world is in a desperate time. And this is what Harrison said. And he said, think about it. In all of history, God said, I saw Michael and I destined him to be here during this time. I saw you guys and I destined you to be here during this time. And so God, there's a divine destiny for you to be here right now, alive today. God said, I put you there because of what is going on around you. That doesn't sound cool to anyone. It's cool to me. All right. So just on this moment here, I'm going to, do you guys have Bibles? We're going to turn to 2 Timothy real quick. All right. So I'm going to maybe read through some scriptures kind of quickly. We'll see what happens. I might make some comments along the way. I mean, that's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to show yourself, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are in him, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I want to stop there for a minute. I think sometimes we get in this mindset that like, like, I've just got to like, you know, sit and wait on God, like to get over this thing. Like, I've just got to wait for God to give me a prayer life. I've got to wait for God to give me a hunger. I've got to wait for God to help me turn from my iniquity. When Paul said to Timothy, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You depart from it. 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Cleanses himself, meaning you have a role to play by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You're not just standalone. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit to turn away from sin, to get up and pray. Okay, we're moving on. 222, flee useful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 222, and then 3:1. But in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. And think of America as we go through this list, and even the church. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The church here, some places, having a form of godliness, maybe your life, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Looking godly, but not walking in power. And from such, people turn away. Like Sean was talking about, people aren't attracted to the church, they're turning away from it. There's supposed to be a power of God in there, and I don't see any. And verse 6, and of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts. 7, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. How many people are coming to conference after conference, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Like learning, but like, how many times have I said or a friend said, I just need to pray more, or I just need to, like, gone to church your whole life and just like trying to pray every day, you know, trying to pray every day of the week is a struggle. Always learning, going to church every day, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth of God. So I share this because, like, I'm asking the question this summer, is this what it looks like to burn for God in America in 2016? Is it like just like business as usual, church as usual, like show up and then go to lunch and then like have a middle of the week thing? Is that what it looks like to burn for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I don't know what it looks like, but I'm wondering if it's just like, do we just kind of like just truck along, you know? Or do we like want to lavish time on him, hours? Lavish our inheritance. What does that look like? Like, if we love God, then we would spend time with him. Like, no one's got to hold you accountable to hanging out with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Let's be real. And so, like, this is, like, real and this is hard. It's the place, like, I'm wrestling with. And like, and I want others to come alive to like, the Moravians said, this can't be it. This can't be it. There's got to be more. And so they fasted and they prayed for hours. Like, I think this can't be it, guys. And so, like, I don't know, but, like, what if we as a community of believers pursue that? What does it look like to burn for God at your respective campus? Like, just burn for him. I was chatting earlier in our cohort, and Chris shared as kind of I was sharing a little bit of this. Then Chris White, he said, "We today are the sum of how we've let him change us in the days past." Today, we're the sum of the work we've allowed him to do in our life. I've heard something similar say, someone once say something similar, which is, God is waiting on you to decide how intimate you want to be with him. He wants to be so intimate with you, and he's waiting on you to decide how intimate you want to be. And so, like, this is not like earn your way to God, but this is like Paul saying to Timothy, like, you can choose, homie, to turn, to flee. That doesn't say like wait to flee or whatever. That says flee, like choose to flee. My friend and I were camping. We're by the fire. It's late at night. And he starts to get pumped up, right, about like, yeah, we can do this. And then he's like, but Monday morning, what does that look like? All right, it was Saturday. He's like, but Monday morning, what does that look like? And I said, the Spirit said to us, know me. Know God. And be transformed by him. Changing the world looks like God changing your world. And then the things that he's done in you, freely give to others and let it change their world. Freely you've received, freely give. You can't give what you don't have. And so if God's not changing your world, how can you expect to change others? So I think that's it, really. Like, I think really what changing the world looks like is allowing God to change your world and then just giving that to one person who then can give it to another person. And then you've given it to two people. And then you, God keeps changing you and you keep giving that away and that away until your influence grows and you're giving away things to like 50 people in a room at a time. And then beyond. Freely you've received, freely give. All right. Are we okay? Okay, cool. God, would you do that work in us? Would you come and would you just wake up the church and would you wake up our hearts and would you give us hunger just as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul thirsts for the living God. Would that be us, God? Would we thirst for you like a deer for the water brook? Would we hunger for you? Would we want to spend hours in your presence? Would we want to talk about you because of the things you've done are talk-worthy? Because of who we're discovering is talk-worthy. Would you do that in our lives, in this room, in Jesus' name? Amen. All right, so we're moving on. All right, Leader Connect Groups, it's bringing, there are two levels. All right, the body of Christ exists in two levels on a campus. It exists in students, right? And it exists in their ministers, right? That's like representative of the body of Christ. All right, and so there are two kinds of Leader Connect Groups. There's student Leader Connect Groups and staff Leader Connect Groups. Boom. And so student Leader Connect Groups and staff Leader Connect Groups. And the idea is we're bringing these guys together. So we talk about unity. I really believe that Leader Connect Groups is the heartbeat of unity on a college campus. And I also believe that unity happens in the context of relationship. It's not some ethereal thing. It's not like, oh, let's be unified. There has to be real relationship for unity to happen. And so we call that relationship Leader Connect Groups. Make sense? Is anyone currently a part of, starting, or thinking about starting a Leader Connect Group, by a show of hands? Cool. So we got like 50%. Good, good, good. So the other 50%, you guys can sleep through this one. No, just kidding. You might want to know this. God's got you here for a very specific reason. Remember that. All right. It's one of the other things I would add to Akpini's definition is that it's of regularity. So these leaders are connecting on a regular basis. So ideally, it would be like weekly. Weekly, you get a friend from BCM and a friend from RUF and a friend from CCF and Longhorns for Christ, and you as students, you come all together, or you get the ministers all together from each of those ministries, and you say, hey guys, we're gonna meet together on a regular basis, and we're gonna start to figure out this thing called unity. Right? And so so ideally, Leader Connect Groups happen weekly or happen monthly. So what I'm gonna talk about, I'm gonna do the step-by-step on establishing a Leader Connect Group. We're going to go through the steps on establishing a Leader Connect Group. I think there's 8. Is that cool? Cool. Cool, cool. Yes. Praises. All right. So when going to establish a Leader Connect Group, this is important because if you're going to, you want to be a part of a United Movement, I believe this is where you start. Bringing leaders together. That's why this matters. I believe this is the starting place. This is the heartbeat. You get these guys together. You dream together. You pray together. I've got another saying, which is trust. So you're bringing these people together. You're establishing relationship with them. Trust is the currency of unity. Okay, so first thing, we call it LCG for short.
Yeah.
One, establish relationships, vision. Okay, first thing, establish relationships / vision cast. That's going to be the first thing. And I put in parentheses, low-hanging fruit. Here's the deal. So you want to bring, you want to start a catalytic event. You want to do a res week. You got to bring leaders from different ministries together, whether students or whether campus ministers. Go where the Spirit is leading you. So if you know some students from some different ministries and they want to get together, then you're starting a leader connect group. All right, so establish relationships with these guys. I really think kind of the key to that is a one-on-one. So I'll go to the campus minister of or the student leader of RUF and I'll say, hey, so I have this vision. I just believe that unity should happen on college campuses, right? I just believe that that's what God's doing. And you get to know one another and you establish a relationship, but you go for the low-hanging fruit. So I went to RUF because I heard that guy had a heart for unity already. Does it make sense? Or that friend that's a part of BCM has a heart for unity already. And so it's an easy sell to say, hey, would you come together? And maybe initially, you don't pitch them on meeting every week. That sounds like a lot. Rather, you say, would you come to a gathering of these leaders? So like what you'll do is you'll have a one-on-one with the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, the Methodist, the non-denominational. You'll have a one-on-one with these different leaders, and you'll invite them to come to what's the next point, the initial LCG meeting. The initial, that's not how you spell that. Is that how you spell it? So you invite them to come to the initial LCG meeting. All right, so you've had these one-on-ones where you established trust and you went to as many that you have the time and capacity for. So as many of these different leaders that you have the time and the capacity for, you'll go to RUF, BCM, and say, hey, would you come to this initial meeting? And at this initial meeting, that's where the real vision casting happens. And so, and here you pitch like, we've got, what if we did a collaborative event together, right? What if we brought all of our denominational differences. We came with all the diversity, the uniqueness. What if we came together and we had a worship thing? Or what if we together said, let's try to figure out how to reach every corner of the campus. So here, you cast a vision. Or you tell them, so unity happens in the context of relationship. What if we just start to get together? I think there are four things that I have that are really the essence of a leader connect group weekly meeting. So you've got this initial one. You talk to them about praying together regularly. You talk to them about out of prayer strategy. How can we reach the campus together? And a campus renewal strategy is something called campus mapping or spiritual mapping. Does anyone know what campus mapping is or spiritual mapping? Can someone describe that? Yeah. Does it make sense? The purpose of campus mapping is to find out who's being reached and who's not being reached on the campus. So there's this beauty when you bring everybody together. It's like they each have a piece of the puzzle of what God's doing. And the only way you'll know the full picture of what God's doing is if everyone brings their piece. And so that's why we need leaders to come together, right? So we can see, wow, we've got unreached people groups on our own campus. Like, we're talking about sending to the nations, but we've got India right here, and we have nobody reaching the Indians. Indian? Yeah. Prayer, strategy, and then mission. We've got this term campus saturation. But mission can look like these, like a bunch of things. Catalytic events. Missional communities. And catalytic events, missional communities. So that's like, let's establish a community of people on mission. We found out that no one's reaching the Indian population, the Middle Eastern population on our campus. Let's establish a missional community to reach those so that the whole campus becomes reached, right? So through prayer, strategy, mission. We can do big events together. We can do missional communities. Prayer events, big prayer events. Is that it? I think so. All right, we're going to move on. So you met with a bunch of people one-on-one. You invited them to initial gathering where you cast the vision, and then you follow up. You have one-on-one follow-ups. So it's like, I met with RUF, he was a low-hanging fruit, he came to our initial meeting, and now I'm going to follow up and say, do you have feedback on how that went? Right? We talked about doing these things together. Do you have feedback on that? And then you would try to do that with every individual that came. Cool? You would also maybe have follow-ups like, you only had 5 folks come to the initial gathering from 5 ministries. That's cool, right? That's okay. You only had 5 folks come. You would also then follow up with the people that didn't come, the people you haven't reached yet. Does that make sense? I'm going to try to zip through these a little quicker. All right, so the follow-up one-on-ones. And then essentially you have kind of your next LCG. And so it's going to look kind of like your initial one, similar to number 2. The reason why it's going to look kind of similar is because you might have a lot of new folks at that one. You hope to have new folks at that one. And so you'll want to recast vision again. Makes sense? But you'll also, then further, when laying a foundation, repetition is kind of necessary. Like, wait, who are you again? What are you doing on my campus? Okay, repeating. Make sense? 5, another round of one-on-ones if possible. So you're following up again. Unity happens in the context of the relationship. I believe that the smallest unit of unity is a one-on-one. Like the smallest unit of unity is like this right here, growing out. Like hashing out our differences in those one-on-ones. Like, who are you? What do you believe? Well, why should I come to your United thing? I don't want to come to your United thing. That's the work of unity. is this like laboring through, like, what does it mean to be unified? Like, that's the work of unity. It's like, a little side note, a campus minister from RUF at Georgia Tech pulled me aside and said, I love these big events, but they feel kind of cheap. Because, like, it's easy to get excited about something huge that everyone's coming to. You know what's hard? Week in and week out, meeting together and working through your differences. That's the work of unity. And so, like, the kind of the big events are like, they paint a picture. I mean, they're awesome, but they paint a picture that's not exactly how unified we really are. Just saying. I was humbled by that. All right. Here's six. Regular LCGs. You're meeting every week. Or every month. You're doing your thing. Boom. You've got momentum. A movement has started. And then what I like to do, so I like to kind of call this first one a kick. This initial meeting a kickoff. I like to call this an end of semester. Something. Fellowship. And so what you do at the end of semester fellowship is like, all right, like, we actually got together. And you celebrate, like, what happened. Maybe you even put on an event that semester. You come and you celebrate what had happened. And then you talk about vision for the next year. But this is kind of, and here's point eight. This is kind of the work I've seen, or one model of what starting and forming a Leader Connect group can look like. Okay, 254. any questions on that? Yes, ma'am. Great question. So the idea is both or either or. So you could have you're a student leader of CREW at Kennesaw State. You could have a student leader of CREW at Kennesaw State, one of BCM, one of RUF, one of Chi Alpha, meeting together and strategizing, how do we transform the campus together? Student Leader Connect Group. And the same thing can happen on a staff level as well. Does it make sense? And a little side note is when you go to a student leader, like, I will probably talk with Chris Hodges, which is their campus minister. You would probably want to talk to their campus minister and just kind of, like, make sure they don't think you're stealing their student, right? You would kind of, like, want to make sure they don't think you're starting a prayer group stealing everybody's students. So, good question. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, so what Brittany's saying is within campus renewal, we've got something different than a student leader connect group, which is a core team. And so those students are primarily involved in campus renewal. And she's saying, would, like, a good thing to be, have one of our core team members, like, be assigned to BCM and kind of be the liaison to that ministry. And I don't know. I haven't tried it. So I think we've thought about it. And I think a student leader connect group is probably a one-stop shop for everybody if we could do that. So, Any other questions on Leader Connect Group? I wanted to just kind of hit benefits and common obstacles real quick. But I want to take any pertinent questions. Cool. All right, benefits. You may want to write these down, and you may not, but I'll go through them kind of quick. 257. Leaders becoming friends. The Pentecostal guy and the Reformed guy begin to see that we're friends and like actually go and like grab a beer together or something. It's pretty cool. It's no longer that guy that I don't believe the same thing. That's my friend. Just careful about that beer. Yes. Second thought. They begin to host events together that we didn't even instigate. So there's multiple international ministries on campuses. And they're like, wow, I didn't know this guy. Well, let's host an international ministry event together. And it's through the formation. It's through Leader Connect Groups. I mentioned bringing each a piece of the puzzle. Baptist and Presbyterian each have their own strengths and weaknesses. Pentecostal. And so when you bring those guys together, they uniquely sharpen one another in their weaknesses. And I think we all come to more of the image of Christ together. We can bless sending students from one ministry to another because I know the leader of RUF and he's my friend. And so I don't mind a student going from my ministry to RUF. It's not this like sheep stealing mentality anymore. Anyone else have a benefit that they want to throw out there? Yes. It's attractive to the lost. Justin, got anything? God's attracted to humility. Just as the saying, I start to think of it less as a movement of unity and more of a movement of humility. That's why he's been doing this 20 years or something. All right, common obstacles. Going to go through some of these real quick. You might hear, yes, I want to be involved, and then they don't get involved. You're like, what? You might hear, I'm for unity, I just don't have the time. You might just hear, I'm not interested. You might email that person and text them and email them and not get any reply. You might do your thing and one person shows up, or it's just you for several weeks praying. Don't despise small beginnings. Justin has this saying, go with the goers. If two people come, run with those two people. If you wait for everyone to show up, you'll be waiting forever. All right. And so to the, and then this is just going to be my last point, and to the, yes, I want to be involved, but doesn't show up, or to the, I'm for unity, but I just don't have time, or the I'm not interested, or the email and no reply, and email and no reply, and email and no reply. Like, that's so real. But like, as Sean, like, so eloquently reminded us last night, Luke 11. What? I'm sleeping with my wife and kids. Okay, I'm coming down. Oh, you need bread. Take as much as you want as long as you'll leave. It's real. People will show up. Just keep knocking. Ask. Seek. Knock. All right. Leader Connect groups. That's it.